You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
Okay, welcome everybody. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track. Hey, we're your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. And today, what an action-packed day in the world of sports. Some major trades going on. Hey, in the last part of the show, we're going to talk about this transition. Players going from team to team. Even in the big leagues, it is a task to move, stay focused, and perform going from a team to another team. Across the country, across the state, it doesn't matter. It's a big transition. And as you move down in the levels of sport, it gets even more challenging. So later in the show, I want to talk about this transition. What does it mean for the players? And what should the teams be doing to help these players make this transition? There's a lot of things that get overlooked in these situations, so let's talk about that. But today, we got a really interesting conversation. We're going to talk about chasing down the dream, being in it for the long haul. If you have any questions, comments, or smart remarks, get to us at crushperformance.com. You can get into our newsletter, check out our blogs, and also the podcast there. And this is an interesting conversation because I do believe a lot of athletes, for whatever reason, give up too soon. They give up too soon because they don't know what they need to do in order to make it to the next level, or they're just a little bit short. They don't know how to cut into it and get that little extra bit of performance. We're going to talk to one of the Crush athletes that came on board just about a year ago, and we had some serious conversations about continuing to chase down the dream. We're going to talk to him about the process. Tyler Vavra will be joining us, a pitcher in baseball. We're going to talk to him about his high school career, how he went to college, how he wound up having Tommy John, how all the naysayers said time to quit and move on with life, but he absolutely wasn't ready, and he's chasing down the dream as we speak. I want to talk to him about it because it's an important conversation. Later in the show, we're also going to talk performance nutrition. Ricky Ng, sports nutrition expert from Revive Wellness, will join us to talk about some of the easy things you can do to improve your performance through nutrition. Listen, there's a lot of information out there and a lot of misinformation as well when it comes to the world of nutrition. Leave alone supplementation. That is a whole other discussion we're going to get into today. But there's some really simple, basic things you can do to improve your performance and make it easy on yourself. Listen, eating properly is a massive undertaking. We have athletes that, you know, consume up to 10,000 calories a day, which is about what my entire family of five consumes. It's a full-time job just shopping and cooking. So what do you do if you're a sports family with two or three athletes in the family, or if you're a full-time athlete training, competing, traveling, and trying to eat right? Well, there's some simple strategies there that I think can make life a little easier for you, and also not just impact your sport performance, but your recovery and your life in general. Listen, when it comes to nutrition, your mom was absolutely right. You are what you eat. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about all the tricks of the trade as we move on into, you know, the world of high-performance sports. The principles trickle right down to the grassroots level, so it's going to be a fantastic conversation. I'm really looking forward to it. Ricky will be joining us in the next segment. But I really wanted to get into this whole concept of, you know, chasing down the dream and making that big decision of continuing on and chasing down sports. Now, you know, we know athletes who have eventually made the NFL or the NHL or Major League Baseball after years in the minors or battling through injuries that have made it back simply because they didn't give it up. But we've also seen those athletes that fade away and never seem to crack the lineup simply because they don't know what to do. Well, when we sit down with our athletes, you know, there's a couple questions that we ask when they're trying to make that decision, when people are asking them or telling them to step down and get on with life, or, you know, if they're just a half a step short and don't know what to do in order to get to that next level. And we asked those three simple questions to our guest who's joining us right now, Tyler Vavra. Tyler, thanks for joining us tonight. You know what? I'm really looking forward to this conversation, so I'm glad you can make it.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, so you're now down in the States right now. You guys are getting ready for a big tournament, I think, as, you know, you pursue, you know, chasing down the dream of making it to the next level.
Yeah, we're right now we're actually in Grand Forks, B.C., and I'm just playing with a a team called Sidearm Nation. And, yeah, we're playing in the Grand Forks Invitational against some really good competition. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting right now. And we won our first game, so hopefully we can win two more and get to the money round.
Right. So, Tyler, just so our audience knows, you and I hooked up years and years ago through your high school career through one of the great academies here in Canada. But, you know, before that, this whole conversation has been spurred on by a couple emails and a couple phone conversations I had over the last couple weeks from parents who have young athletes that they think need to transition out of sport, and they just wanted some advice. And also from an athlete and a coach who really believe that they still have what it takes, but they're getting passed over and they're not getting the attention they think they deserve, and they're looking for ways to do it. And, you know, once I met you, you know, after your rehab from your Tommy John surgery, you know, I was really impressed with the way you've handled it. So what I'd like to do today is just share this conversation, because I think this conversation needs to happen more. I honestly believe that a lot of athletes give up way too soon, way too early, and maybe because they haven't laid out the plan. Well, you laid out a plan, and I really like it. So, Tyler, if you're okay, maybe let's go back to your high school career, where I think that's when you really decided baseball was the sport you wanted to pursue. Is that correct?
Yeah. Coming out of Vauxhall, yeah, I kind of decided right at grade 11 that I wanted to play baseball at obviously a professional level, and still pursuing that to this day. But yeah, that was when kind of the groundwork started happening, and that's really when I decided to play baseball at a high level. So yeah, once I decided that, it was kind of all my energy was going towards that, right? And that's kind of how it's been.
Right.
So
and
far.
Yeah, and it was a commitment not just from you, but you and your family to go down to Vauxhall, where you'd move away from home, stay in dormitories, and be in a fantastic program that's solely geared to, you know, develop baseball players. Hey, let me ask you this. One of the big conversations we've been having on the show here this spring and into the summer is the concept of early specialization and how it's really destroying the end ceiling of athletes specializing way too early. Tyler, were you a multi-sport athlete coming up in your younger years?
I was, yeah. When I was 15, I was drafted into the WHL, and I had to decide between hockey and baseball. And it wasn't until I got to Vauxhall I really decided that baseball was my main sport. I played a little basketball at Vauxhall because it was a great cross-training tool for me to, you know, become as athletic as possible. And, no, I'm a big believer in cross-training because the movement patterns that you develop while playing other sports are crucial for your, you know, your prime sport like baseball. So it's so important for kids to cross-train and stay in as many sports as they can. Scouts are looking for athletic kids, right? And athletic players. And it's important to be as athletic as possible.
Yeah, we're talking with Tyler Vavra, pitcher, young amateur, I guess we still have to say pitcher, who's working his way, trying to find his way into the professional ranks as we talk about, you know, chasing down the dream, you know, sticking it out for the long haul. So you come from an athletic family. Your dad played in the CFL, and that had to help out in terms of your decision to pursue sport, period. I mean, just to pursue sport and make that decision, that's a big decision on itself.
Yeah, no, dad has always been in my corner, and he understands just the grind of training and trying to pursue your dream. And he's always been pushing me to play baseball as long as I can and see how far I can take it. And, you know, I really appreciate that he's done that for me. And it's awesome to have a dad that understands that, that you have to pursue your dreams until you don't want to do it anymore. And that when you're completely done with the sport, that's when you can step away from that dream and, you know, move on to the next thing that life has for you. But it really, you have to play out your aspirations until you're done, until you're ready to step away.
Yeah, and you weren't quite ready. We're talking with Tyler Vavra, baseball pitcher, amateur baseball pitcher, working his way through the, I guess, you like you said, the grind of getting to the professional leagues. Okay, so let's just set the tone here. Vauxhall is a fantastic baseball academy, high school academy in southern Alberta. It's going into its 11th year now. In 10 years, there's only been a handful of players coming out of that academy that haven't either got a college scholarship or signed pro, so it's very successful. I love the program. It's fantastic. You left Vauxhall on a college scholarship. Let's talk about this phase of your life, transitioning from high school to college.
Yeah, of course. I went to College of Southern Idaho, so it's a junior college down in Twin Falls, Idaho. And my 2 years there were incredible. I met some of my best friends and played in a very competitive conference. Bryce Harper was actually, in my first year, he decided to play at the College of Southern Nevada, so got to play against him. And, you know, he was an incredible player, and just kind of just showed how competitive that conference was. So I went there and had two really successful years where I started both years and got quite a bit of playing time. And then I decided to go to Eastern Michigan University in Ypsilanti, Michigan. And six innings in, I tore my UCL. So that was, it was kind of, you know, a setback for me in a lot of ways. Because I was a starter, and it was kind of, my career was kind of unsure then. After tearing your UCL, you really don't know how your body's going to bounce back from surgery. And I got surgery June 2012, and it kept me from playing my junior and senior year at Eastern Michigan. And then I decided that Eastern Michigan really wasn't the best fit for me, and the pitching program wasn't where I thought it needed to be in order to help me get to the next level. So I switched to Canisius College in Buffalo, New York. And honestly, I came back from Tommy John surgery, and I had no idea what it took to get back to where I was and where I wanted to be. I really didn't have that guidance, and I didn't understand how much work it takes to get to the next level. So I went to Canisius, and I really didn't pitch much. It was a really frustrating time in my life, and it was just, you'd go to practice and to games, and I just didn't feel the same way as I did at College of Southern Idaho. And it was just really frustrating. But then I left Canisius, or I graduated from Canisius with my master's in sports administration. And, you know, I got my education out of it, which was awesome, but ultimately my goal is to play professional baseball. So I, as soon as I graduated, I made up my mind that I was going to seek out you, Jeff, and train with you. And, you know, ever since I did that, I kind of realized what it takes in order to play at the big league level and minor league level, professional level for that matter. And we've been doing a lot of great work, and I'm seeing the results now.
Right. Well, we've been working together well over half a year now, and this is what I want to talk about, that transition, that decision to really pursue it. You're done school now, you've got your degree, and there is a tug of war. One says, okay, get on with life, leave baseball in the rearview mirror, maybe play for fun, because it's always going to be a big part of who you are and what you are, the fabric. Any athlete that's committed to a sport knows this. But to chase down the dream for the long haul, you had to make a decision to go that route. So I kind of like what happened at this point in your career. You sat down with your family, you sat down with important people around you, and then you and I had a very serious discussion. When you came to me and said you wanted to do it, I'm going, okay, listen, if you're going to do this, let's make sure it's the right thing to do. And I think I asked you three questions. There's three major points that I like to talk about at this stage of the decision-making process when athletes are pursuing professional sports. And there's three things that you had to think about and that I needed to know you needed to think about or that you had thought about. And number one, the first thing we talked about, Tyler, was do we really think that you have the ability, and this is just being brutally honest, the ability to play at the next level of sport. And you and I sat there and we had that discussion and we both agree that it's in there. I mean, you were pitching 90 plus, you were getting guys out. I mean, back when you started your college, you were pitching really well. And again, now you're mature, you've got a little more physical ability and you understand the game a bit more. So I think that was an important discussion. Number two was, okay, do you think you have the passion to put in the time and the grind and make the commitment to doing what needs to be done? And that's without question, never was questioned. And then number three, we had a very interesting conversation around, was about the money side, because it's a commitment from you, your family, the people around you, and also the people who are going to invest in getting you to the next level. And that's an area that I believe a lot of athletes miss out on. And I think that was, for me personally, working with you, that was a real big turning point, asking those three questions and answering them honestly.
Yeah, it definitely was. Obviously, the money side of things is tough because, money is what drives a lot of people, right? And it makes your dreams possible. But I've been lucky enough that my family is really on board, and they're helping me financially in some ways. But I also decided that I was gonna work and going to train as well. So I worked with the Calgary Flames in the sales department there, and also found a job at an indoor baseball facility coaching young kids. And I just really decided that, this is what I wanted to do. I needed to put time in, obviously, working and make some money, save up some money so I can pursue my dream. But yeah, it really did. It takes a lot of dedication in order to really pursue a dream at a high level. Some people, they can't wrap their head around working and then training 24/7, taking care of your body and treating it like a machine. I decided to do that, and I'm happy I did.
Yeah. Well, one of the big changes I think that we made after about 8 weeks of training, and we're talking with Tyler Vavra, amateur pitcher. He's chasing down the dream of playing pro ball, a long haul. It's a very important conversation. Over the last couple of weeks, I've actually had a couple phone calls and conversations with coaches and athletes, and a couple emails from parents. A couple emails saying, hey, look, we think our young athlete needs to move on and pursue school or a job. How do we transition? We've also had a coach write, and actually I spoke with, that says, hey, look, we got these players who could be fantastic if they just have maybe the support to chase down the dream like you are, Tyler. That's why we're having this conversation today, because, again, I honestly do believe too many athletes give up too soon. But it's not easy. You have to balance life in terms of, getting down that road that can take you to pursuing your dream. But one of the things about 8 weeks in that I thought really had an impact on where you're at right now, we had the physical side done. We looked at your throwing mechanics. We got the training down. You had a great base. But we met with a real, real talented sports nutrition guy to take you to the next level. Tyler, we only have a couple minutes left, but maybe right now you can talk quickly about, how that nutrition and that decision to really dedicate yourself to proper nutrition was important, because we're going to talk about that next segment with Ricky Ng. And then also let's talk really quickly, wrap it up with where you're at right now and where you're going.
Yeah, Ricky was obviously a huge part of just my development. I sat down with him, we did a body analysis, and really kind of looked at my frame and kind of decided what we wanted to do with it. And at the time I was weighing about 220 pounds, and that just was too much for, I'm 6 foot, and just too much for me to be carrying. So we sat down and kind of decided what I wanted my body to look like and what I wanted it to do. So I got on a very strict eating program with Ricky, and we focused on hydration, and we focused on the amount of calories I was putting into my body and just certain times during the day. Snacking was a big part of it as well. And I got down to 205, exactly where I wanted to be. So I lost 15 pounds and put on 4 or 5 pounds of muscle. So I was really, really happy with what Ricky's done for me. He just kind of put me in a way better position. And I look better, I feel better, and I just, I can't say enough about Ricky and his program. It's pretty amazing process that we've gone through.
The power of nutrition. I can't say it enough. It's our number two priority in overall athlete development. And when athletes are at a level where they need extra help, hey man, we seek out the experts, and Ricky's one of them. We're going to be talking to him next on the show, everybody. So stick around. Tyler, maybe tell us right now where you're at in your career. How old are you? Where are you at? And what's happening in the next few months here? We got about a minute left.
Yeah, of course. I'm 25 years old. I'm residing in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and I'm right now I'm looking for tryouts with independent baseball teams. I've been to two, threw very well at them, and unfortunately didn't get picked up. But I'm going to be looking to play in Australia in the next come September and, you know, work my way into professional baseball that way.
Hey, Tyler, let me ask you this before we let you go. How long are you going to stick it out? I mean, when does that time come? Maybe you don't know until you get there, but right now you're quite content and moving forward, hey?
Yeah, my plan is, and I've told my parents this and my girlfriend as well, I want to do this until I'm about 30 years old. So that's kind of my... that's my timeline for myself. If that time comes when I'm not passionate about it anymore, obviously I'll step away. But until then, until I don't have that passion, I'm going to do it till I'm about 30 years old. And I feel like that's, you know, that's when I've given myself a fair chance to see where baseball can go.
All right. I love it, Tyler. Hey, and I'm there for you, brother. Let's make it happen. That's all I have to say, because I do believe in this a lot. So, hey, I want to thank you for coming on today. It's a great story that I think a lot of athletes, parents, and coaches need to hear. So, appreciate it, man. Hey, we'll be following you very closely.
I appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Great, Vav.
Appreciate it.
All right. Hey, there you go, Tyler Vavra. That's just a great story I wanted to share with everybody. And the impact, listen, the transition in week 8 when Tyler started the nutrition program was staggering. We'd worked on his mechanics, we'd worked on his form, we worked on his lifting and a lot of his conditioning, and he was ready to go. But it was a game changer. Coming up next after the break, we're going to talk about sport nutrition with Ricky Ng from Revive Fitness. What do you need to think about when setting up a program? It's a big job, and you need to eat. But there's some great hints you can use to help you along the way. Right after this on Crush Performance, stick around. Once you commit yourself to the world of sport performance, it doesn't turn off. It's always coming at you, and you have to be ready to respond. That's sport performance, adapting and rising to everything sport can throw at you. And now you can learn how as Crush Performance presents the Sport Matrix, a program designed to help athletes navigate the world of sport performance and athlete development to find out what it really takes to achieve human maximum performance. The Sport Matrix. For more information, go to crushperformance.com.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the show. Jeff Crochelle here, the con man behind the glass. Hey, we're your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. CrushPerformance.com. Get there. Blogs, podcasts, hookups to the world of sport performance. If you're on Facebook, I truly encourage you to join our group, the Talent Grid. Just go on there, apply. I'll let you in. We're posting stuff. We got coaches. We got athletes, we got sports scientists all connected there. It's turning out to be a pretty interesting and fun thing. I'm not a big social media guy, but the Facebook group has been a ton of fun as people get on there and stir it up a little bit. So, hey, great conversation today. I was really looking forward to this. The last couple of weeks, I've had two phone calls and a couple of real solid emails. The two emails were from parents and athletes, you know, just talking about the transition. When do you decide to, you know, give up sport and move on? And that's a big decision. The other two phone calls were interesting. One was from a coach who had a player that was talking about quitting, but wanted them to pursue sport further because they really believed they could really make their mark. And the other one was from an athlete who just didn't know how to pursue it and was talking about giving up because they didn't know what to do. So we had Tyler Vavron, a young Crush athlete who I've been working with for years, had Tommy John surgery in the midst of his college career. And once college sort of fizzled out, he had to make the decision on whether he was going to pursue sport or give it up. And it's a fantastic story. It's truly what it's all about, sticking it out for the long haul. We started working together almost half a year ago. And about 8 weeks in, you know, we started looking at where he's at, working with his mechanics, you know, getting his posture all set up, working on his movement skills and, you know, getting into the program. And things were coming along really good to the point where, you know, if you look at our priorities for development, rest and recovery and sleep are number one. Number two is nutrition. And he was doing a pretty good job with nutrition, but he was so dedicated and training just so right in the schedule. We needed to go to the next level. And to do that, you know, we seek out experts. And the expert that we seeked out for Tyler Vavra was Ricky Ng, sports nutrition expert from Revive Wellness, and it's revivewellness.ca. And Ricky joins us right now. Ricky, thanks for coming on the show tonight.
Thanks for having me again, Jeff.
Well, I'm really excited about the context of this conversation because, you know, we actually put all this expertise into a plan, into a system, and now it's really making sense. It's not something we're just slapping in there as a Band-Aid. This is meaningful training. So I guess everybody who's been listening to the first segment heard Tyler talk about his decision to pursue sport. And then, you know, at a certain point in the program when we got going, really focusing on nutrition was the next thing to do. And he did it and he's doing it well. It was a game changer for him, Ricky. Maybe perhaps you could talk to us about the process, because I think one of the things about nutrition is people don't understand the process when they get involved with an expert like yourself. What happens, you know? So maybe we could talk about and use Tyler as an example. Send him to you to take him to the next level. How does it all go down?
Yeah, so Tyler was a pleasure to work with. He came in super motivated and was really on board with just taking, very self-motivated to take his training to the next level. And so coming in, when he first came into the office, kind of walked him through the step-by-step process, and it really emphasizing that we're not going to be super aggressive right off the hop just because we don't want to overwhelm you. He's training, he's working, there's a lot for him to take on. And if there was anything that we could do to really support him to make that nutrition transition as simple as possible, then we were there to help. I really emphasize them that I needed to make these sessions athlete driven. And what I mean by that was I really want them to just take the lead on that, give me a lot of feedback along the way. Every step of the way, I tend to have agendas for what we want to tackle, whether it's pre-fueling, recovery, looking at weight changes, hydration, all aspects of performance. But I really wanted him to take the lead in defining those objectives for us. So when he first came in towards the end of February there, we first did a body composition to see at baseline where he was at. So we really wanted to get an indicator of where his muscle mass was, where his body fat levels were. And for us, that was our baseline. We were going to be using, when it comes to nutrition and looking at energy targets, we wanted to make sure that we didn't just guess what number Tyler was needing. We wanted to target it based on his lean body mass, because that's the biggest indicator of the body's metabolic rate. The more muscle an athlete has, the more their resting metabolic rate is going to be. And for us, that's a starting point for targeting energy. We have a lot of athletes that come in beforehand and they'll go online, they'll put in their age, height, weight, and it spits them out a number. But the thing is, we could have somebody with the exact same weight, height, age, but their muscle mass is entirely different. And so that means their energy targets is going to be completely different too. And so hence the body comp right off the hop. And we wanted to make sure that if there was any transition that was happening with body weight, we wanted to see where exactly that was coming from. And so after we did the initial assessment, after we did the body composition, we started to hone in on specific targets and what his goals were, where he wanted that weight to come down to. And along the way, for any athletes who are dropping in weight, their power and strength can definitely get compromised, because oftentimes we see a lot athletes not just lose body fat, but they lose a lot of muscle and power along the way. They show up for training extremely fatigued. We've had athletes that, in an attempt to lose weight, they pulled out all their carbs, and so their training suffered. And for a guy who needed to peak for training camp, we couldn't afford to have that. But at the same time, we still needed to make sure that we restricted him enough coming down to training camp.
Yeah, we're talking with Ricky. Yeah, we're talking with Ricky Ying, sports nutrition expert, consultant with the Edmonton Oilers of the NHL. Hey, Ricky, this is a great. I just love everything that's going on here, because you know when Tyler started with you, it was great to see the transformation that happened over the next few weeks. But when he sat down with you and you done the body comp and you were sitting down looking at goals and objectives, was he pretty realistic? I mean, I think a lot of athletes don't quite understand the process and what it takes. Was he on the mark, or did you have to recalibrate him a little bit when you guys are sitting down and having him sort of steer the goals and objectives?
Yeah. So for him, he wasn't somebody that was underfeeding by any means. There were the objectives that we really had in place was to really try to get regular timing for his meals. He was working quite long hours. His work day was pretty choppy. His training too, really wanted to make sure that we would fuel him adequately. I know when he first came in, he was using pre-workout to really get his energy up. And to me, that's a really big red flag as soon as we have an athlete coming in. Because if they're having to rely on a substance to help get their energy up for training, there's other aspects such as sleep, such as timing of our nutrition that really needs to get dialed in first. And so that was one of our main goals, was to see if we can pull him off that altogether. But as far as being very realistic with his goals, yeah, certainly was. Our goal was to take him from when he came in, he was 219 pounds. And what Tyler had determined was his optimal power to weight ratio. And so where we wanted to get his weight down to ensure that his power didn't suffer was about the 210, 205 mark.
Yep.
And so we were able to get him down to that it took us about 3.5 months. We wanted to make sure that the transition was very slow and steady, but at the same time, make sure his performance never dropped, and it never did drop. He was able to come off of the pre-workout. His weight dropped significantly at about eight pounds, and his lean body mass actually along the way increased by about 4 pounds.
Which is fantastic, because, you know, a couple of the comments that he made, certainly in his training, I mean, he had way more energy, way more vibrant, but he was recovering better. He was also sleeping better. So, I mean, this is a holistic approach. It affects everything you do.
Yeah, and totally. And at the end of the day, we use whole foods. We really want to help him time his meals out and making sure that balance was in, and really making sure that we wanted to make sure that with his training, he was well supported through it. He wouldn't get hungry during long training sessions, which would steer his attention away from technique and being able to focus. And we wanted to make sure that along the way, as his weight drop, his power and speed was maintained, and not just through. And I think a lot of athletes come in expecting a ton of supplements from a dietitian or someone who's working in nutrition, but that was so far from what we did. And so we really got him the resources that he needed in terms of even using meal catering, because I know at first with his busy training schedule, didn't want to stress him out with too much right there and then. I just mentioned to him, let's get breakfast up and running with you. But for the other meals, let's use a catering company in there. And their prices are pretty reasonable. It's about $8 to $10 a meal. And we just wanted to get that in place just so he knew that he had food ready to go. And if we could alleviate the stresses from that, then that would ensure that Tyler would be able to execute the training and nutrition program effectively, and to make sure that the training, the nutrition side really supported his training expenditure.
Yeah, fantastic. We're talking with Ricky Ng, sports nutrition expert for Revive Wellness, also a consultant with the Edmonton Oilers of the NHL. Hey, listen, so a couple things. This is fantastic. You know, I've seen it 100 times. Athletes get stressed out about food when they're on the road, when they're traveling, but certainly when they're at home, shopping, cooking, and then putting it away in the freezer. That is a lot of work, man, especially when you're trying to set out a schedule, which is so important, like you said. But I really like your comment, Ricky. Let's just go back to this really quickly about the pre-workout, you know, and a lot of athletes are there, whether it's the energy drinks or whether it's the sport drinks or whether it's a supplement, a pre-workout supplement. There's this mindset, and I guess it's not a mindset. They're trying to find a patch for something that's a bigger problem than just taking something, you know, 30 minutes or half an hour before you start your workout.
Yeah, they're looking for that Band-Aid approach, that last-ditch effort, right? And so for a lot of athletes, and even in the NHL, they come in and they've got some pretty early training sessions, and a lot of the times they'll just roll out of bed, show up, and are expected to execute their resistance training program, and then they've got hard skates coming up ahead. And you can definitely see the differences in guys who look after their nutrition versus those that just roll out of bed and rely on a pre-workout, because a lot of athletes you'll end up crashing and burning, and for a lot of those products, it's habitual. So over time, it'll take you more and more and more in order to get the same effects. And a lot of the supplements have been known to cause a lot of harm to athletes. I know there was a gal in the Globe and Mail in Ontario there. So she had taken a bit of a weight loss supplement to try to shed some weight and ended up going into full-on liver and kidney failure a week later.
Yeah. Wow. Scary stuff. Hey, Ricky, let me ask you this. If we cut out for a quick break, were you able to hang on over the break to come on and finish up the show here?
Yeah, most definitely.
Because I'd like to talk to you about, you know, the idea that eating right is a big job. What about a family that has 3 or 4 athletes or somebody that's on the road? There's some great easy tips like the catering, you know, as an example that you can do. But also for families, looking at the cupboards and some of the ideas that you should maybe just address around the household to help your athletes perform if you're able to stick around.
For sure. I'd love to tackle that.
Okay, let's do that after the break on Crush Performance. Stick around, everybody. More performance nutrition with Ricky Ng, performance expert from Revive Wellness, right after this on Crush Performance.
Radio Influence strives to bring you the best in digital media broadcasting. We've got something for everybody. National sports radio talents such as the fabulous Sports Babe and Rich Herrera. Huge podcasts like the Don Tony and Kevin Castle Show. And the MMA Insiders with Jason Floyd and Sam Kaplan. New shows like Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill. Entertainment shows like LOL with Nancy Alexander. And shows that'll make you think like Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger.
We've got you covered.
You can find all our shows on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at CrushPerformance.com.
Yep, CrushPerformance.com. Go there. Questions, comments, smart remarks. Check out the newsletter, the blogs, and also if you're on Facebook, check our group out, The Talent Grid. Hey, today, talking nutrition, talking about chasing down the dream. Earlier in the show, we had one of our Crush athletes on, Tyler Vavra, amateur pitcher, who is now 25 years of age, went through college, had a great start to his college career, fantastic high school career, wound up getting Tommy John surgery. Things were derailed a bit, but he's chasing down the dream right till he's 30. I think too many athletes quit too soon. I really do. And I think that if a lot of athletes just maybe had the organization around them to pursue it a little longer, some really interesting things could happen. But one of the things along the way that's absolutely critical is nutrition. We just got off a great conversation in the last segment with Ricky Ng, a sports nutrition expert for Revive Wellness. And we're going to continue that conversation right now. Ricky, thanks for staying on over the break.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks again for having me.
Yeah, you got it. So, hey, listen, we finished up that segment. I think just to recap that, really interesting stuff. A fantastic point about the pre-workouts. I think the key there is not, you know, to rush to the finish line or to the starting line and try to get all jacked up before your workouts, but to find a schedule and a balance over the course of a day where you don't need that stuff, right? I mean, that's sort of the message you're trying to send here.
Absolutely. And I think oftentimes we do have athletes that show up with maybe 4 to 5 hours of sleep. They've been on their phones all night and are just scrambling to roll out of bed, show up for training. And that's one of the big things. If sleep is compromised, then they're going to be at a much higher risk for injury. And it's one of those things where quite often they won't hit their hours that they need to hit and end up relying on a ton of supplements and end up taking multiple supplements just to get that buzz, which will definitely sooner or later crash.
Yeah. And there's always a crash that follows the high, right? That's right. So this constant sort of, and I like the idea of getting into a schedule. Now we talked about as well, the idea that reducing stress from nutrition. I mean, this is something that people just don't think about. I mean, imagine this, you have an athlete that maybe consumes 5,000-6,000 calories a day. Heck, some of these Olympic athletes, I mean, Phelps going into the last Olympics was consuming somewhere around 12,000 calories a day, which is more than my entire family eats. That is a full-time job on itself. So, you know, in the last segment, you mentioned trying to reduce stress with some cool strategies for athletes where they don't have to worry about preparing meals, going shopping, because that's a big job.
Totally. And it's one of those things where it's as difficult as we make it. Oftentimes I think we have a lot of athletes coming in who have that mindset where, hey, you're going to expect me to make a different snack or a different lunch, different dinner every single day. And I have to be in the kitchen for a good half hour before every single meal to prep all these meals. And a lot of these athletes are consuming meals 5-6 times a day. And quite often what I'll do with them at the beginning is really even just use smoothies. And because those can be meals, you can combine whole food ingredients as opposed to going to your booster juices and really having something that's extremely high in sugar and will cause blood sugar crashes for some athletes and sometimes caloric overloads. And for a lot of our athletes, even making those from scratch, having a stocked up frozen berries, Greek yogurt, their milks, blending something as easy as that together, they can make easily 2 to 3 meals out of that. Some of our athletes add in oats right into their smoothies. And so instead of trying to consume every single component, they're able to drink that down no matter where they're at. If they're on the go right after training, they don't have time to go home. Making that extra smoothie is going to hold them down and tie them down so that by the time they go home, they're not ravenous and they're not just grabbing at everything in sight. And it's just going to help our athletes meet that protein threshold to really help them to adapt to their training sessions. Other aspects of nutrition support that we can provide to our athletes is we've had families that will utilize chef services. So during busy weeks when they know mom and dad are really busy, they're shuttling their kids to multiple practices each day. They don't have time to waste in the kitchen. And so sometimes we've had chefs come in where they'll pick up the groceries. Everything is left in the house. And so it's pretty stress-free. And then on the weeks where the parents are a little bit less stressed out, there isn't as much on the go, then they'll go back to making their meals. And whatever is left over from whatever the chef has made, they can always put that into separate individual containers. And they can always use those for meals down the road. So yeah, it doesn't go to waste. And even for athletes who are traveling, we find that a lot of times they'll tell us, I buy X amount of food, and oftentimes it goes in the garbage. But if we're able to just batch cook it, use our oven, make multiple, batch cook a bunch of chicken breasts, even use some frozen vegetables, batch cook a lot of some rice and quinoa, they can portion those into containers. And that way, every time they're in a rush, you can just grab it, reheat it.
Yeah, great ideas right there for busy families. And you know, one thing we've talked about before, and I think is still really important, when time allows, it is just so important. And it's actually just really good time as well to spend in the kitchen cooking with your young athlete or just cooking with your friends and family.
Yep. And we've got kitchens that are, we're partnering up with restaurants as well. And so they've got full-on teaching kitchens that are ready to go. And so we've got athletes that we're pushing through our program here. So we don't just want them to understand the timing and the distribution and the portion of their meals. We also want them to be very hands-on with being able to prep their meals and have some very, very, very basic culinary skills so that whenever they're leaving home, they're flying out. They're living in billet homes. They can take care of themselves, because sometimes billets aren't going to be the most supportive in terms of making sure that their athletes are eating right. Or if these players are moving to the big city on their own, they know how to have these basic skills so that they're not just eating Kraft dinner every single day.
Kraft dinner, the staple of every college man's diet. Hey, we're talking with Ricky Ng, sports nutrition expert for Revive Wellness. Hey, you're also the consultant for the Edmonton Oilers. You do some work with professional and world-class athletes. Let's talk about those guys, multiple competitions. The travel is brutal. In the competitive season, it's not about performance or getting better. It's truly a survival mode. And nutrition for those guys is as important as, you know, anything else. Because, I mean, that's one thing that's easily overlooked when you're in pro sports as you're jet setting around. It's not as all glamorous, especially when it comes to nutrition.
Mm-hmm. You're on the road so much, you're missing meals. A lot of the guys get sick during the season. And yeah, the difference between guys who are able to maintain their weight and power over the course of a hockey season versus those who are getting sick every week, every other week, are the ones who really have their nutrition dialed in. If they're traveling on the road, they're on the planes, it's the athletes that are really aware of their hydration status and really being able to be proactive. They're able to plan ahead. They're able to know the products that they need to bring, which are transportable. We got guys that carry canned tuna with them, and even some basic rice crackers. Something as easy as that to tie them over so that they're not landing and they're not going to the first fast food joint, or even to the fast food joints over at the within the airports, because they'll show up to training extremely fatigued. They'll show up completely tired. Carb coma. It's a real problem for a lot of these athletes.
Hey, Ricky, you talk about hydration there. We have about a minute left. I want to get to this for sure, because when it comes to hydration, we know what everybody's thinking, right from grassroots right up to the pros: sports drinks and energy drinks. So, hey, really quickly, just to get your opinion there.
Yeah, a lot of our athletes do rely on these sports drinks and stuff. We're really able to help them revamp the timing of their meals and really look at nutrition differently, thinking ahead, being able to know how to fuel their body optimally with sustainable sources of fuel. They're not going to be reliant on these sugar waters. There's a time and a place for that, but there's a lot of athletes who overuse it, and as a result, body composition doesn't work in their favor.
Hey, Ricky, if people want to get more information from you, how can they do it? At revivewellness.ca?
Correct. Yeah, they can definitely come on our site and give us a shout, and we'd be more than happy to work with them.
Great stuff. Hey, Ricky, thanks for your time today, man. Really appreciate it. Fantastic conversation.
Thanks again for having me. Really appreciate it.
You got it. We've got to thank Tyler for coming on. Next week, we're talking leadership in sports, so we'll talk to you then on Crush Performance.